want us to read God's word. I believe every time we read it, we need to honor it. You know, we live in a day where people lack honor for anything. And so we need to honor the word of God because it is timeless and it's perfect and it has the answer to our lives. So we won't be long, but would you stand with me again? And we're going to read Genesis 1, verses 26 to 30. And then we're going to read verses 15 to 17. Genesis chapter 1 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image, and the image of God he created him. A male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I will give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food," and it was so. Chapter 2, verse 15. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" Let's pray. My Father, as today I stand before these men and women, young people, God, we've all got a common problem, and that is, Father, sin separates us from you. And I pray tonight if there's anyone, Father, that has related to the stories and testimonies tonight and will also see themselves in this passage, that, God, they would know that they will never be happy with sin because they were not designed that way. Father, speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll try and keep it brief. Here's what I just really want you to understand. You heard Butch share his story, and you heard Billy Joe. You heard Trudy mention about the compass. And all of that really tells us is together, just hear me out, mankind is messed up. Do you understand that? Mankind is messed up. We live in Louisiana. Louisiana is messed up. Now, I've only been in Nova Scotia twice a week last year, and it's our second day this year. Would you agree that mankind in Nova Scotia is messed up? Do you know it is a universal problem that people are just messed up? I live in Bayou Vista, as they said. Bayou Vista is a community of about 5,000. If you take all the communities we're linked with, which is one after another, about 28,000 people where we live. We're about an hour and a half from downtown New Orleans, which is a million population. It's a big area. But we live in an area of about 28,000 people. And where we live, we see every form of man's depravity. And what I mean by that, I live right across the street from a drug rehab and alcohol rehab hospital. Literally, from my front yard to the hospital is from here to this highway out here. Every day, I see people that are in drug and alcohol rehab, and they're out there taking walks because they've been detoxed from cocaine and heroin and alcoholism. They go through 4 or 5 days in a bed with supervision. They're going through shakes and all this stuff, and they're trying to get a new start in life. And what I see there is, and I've heard this from people that are over it, most of these come back because they find human solutions to a spiritual problem, and human solutions to a spiritual problem never work. And so what you're going to find is people try and do 12 steps, and they try and make their own steps, and they try and read self-help books, but you will never find the solution to the human problem on your own. See, you are made spiritual. And I want you to understand what the Bible says. God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the livestock, over all the earth." When you read that, it's kind of unique when you think about it. God said, "Let us make man." Why is it plural? Because we believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so it's kind of interesting when you look back at Genesis 1:1, the very first verse in the Bible. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And just a few verses later, God said, "Let us make man in our image." At the very beginning, the Bible is very clear that the Son of God was there. You go in the New Testament, it says that God chose to place all the preeminence in Jesus Christ. and that all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. What does that mean to you? Let me tell you right now. You were made with a spiritual purpose. But from the very first sin of Adam and Eve found in Genesis 3, the sin problem has been on us. You know what I find very unique about that? Sin started in the Garden of Eden because Satan tempted man. And ever since then, it's been his same ploy. He uses the same mode of operations. And that is, all of us have a place that we're weak. Let me tell you part of my testimony that I've not shared both times I've been here. I praise God, I have never been drunk in 50 years of life. I've never drank whiskey. I've never had vodka. I've never had any strong alcoholic beverage in my life. I've never had a beer. And so when it comes to my life, the devil has never tempted me with alcohol because it's not an issue in my life. But you know what? I have other issues. I have weak spots. And you have one of those too. Some of you would say, Pastor, alcohol might not be your issue. It's my issue. Right now, if there was a bottle of Jack Daniels in front of me, I could knock it all the way down. Some of you could tell us that. We got a guy in our church who's been with us maybe a year and a half, 2 years, named Roy. Roy used to drink a case of beer and a fifth of whiskey every day. Can you imagine? And Roy's about 5'5". Every day of his life, Roy was drinking whiskey and beer. He said he would spend 2 and 3 days away from home at a time. He had, I think, 4 or 5 boys, and his wife raised them. And he told our church not too long ago, he was a pathetic human being until he came to Jesus. Because here's what he found out. The temptations of life did not fill the spiritual void that he had. And he hasn't touched it since then. God said, you're made in my image and in my likeness. And what that really means to us is, like, unlike everything else that was made, we were made most like God out of all His creatures. Most like God. And that means we have an understanding of right and wrong. We have an understanding of life and death. We have an understanding of the physical and the eternal. You were hardwired at birth with the capability of knowing the one who made you. You ever thought about this? Humanity is the only creation on planet Earth that cares where it came from and cares where it's going. You know, out here in the ocean around us, last year when we were here, we got to go see the beach. Margie took us over there. It's about a mile or two this way. And we got to see the jellyfish. There were tons of jellyfish. I still have a bunch of them this year. All these red jellyfish we took pictures of. I thought it was amazing. What do the jellyfish care about? Not much. They don't have any purpose or existence. They just kind of, right? They're just floating around. Dogs, cats, birds, elephants, animals of all types do not know where they came from and do not know what they were made for. But each and every one of us in this room, we question, why am I here? That is part of being made in the image of God. Listen to me. I do not believe that we are a cosmic accident. We were made in the very beginning with an eternal spiritual purpose. I love to share this because a lot of people just don't think deeply. If you want to talk to somebody who doesn't know Christ, don't necessarily turn to the Bible. Explain from observation the obvious things that God has showed us. What do I mean by that? Well, how many other planets have we found with life on them? Have we found any? I have a friend of mine I went to high school with, or just an acquaintance, I guess, and he's a very big skeptic. And anytime he sees something that even has a hint that there's something else out there, he posts it on Facebook. And I remember what I wrote one day. I said, buddy, we have not even found one mosquito on another planet. When you can show me a mosquito, I'll start talking to you about that. But until then, we're the only thing that we have found life on planet Earth. We have sent satellites all over the place. We have sent probes into the farthest depths of the universe. And we can't even find a fly. On planet Earth, we have more life than you can count. All the way up here, we're driving along the Cabot Trail. How many fish are out in the water that we passed? We're talking about lobsters. How many lobsters you caught this past season? Can you tell me how many? How many lobsters? 16,000. That's a few lobsters, isn't it? And you're going to start crabbing pretty soon, right? How many crabs are you going to catch? 18,000. That's a few crabs. And that's just here. If we go all over planet Earth, how many can we find? It's countless. If we go out here in a little bit, we're going to drive back home. Are we going to find any moose on the road? We were talking about that this morning. We're going to find moose. Back in South Louisiana, we have crawfish and we have redfish and we have every form of life possible. It's countless because we're unique in the creation of God. You know what man's problem is? We try and describe life without God, and there is no explanation. See, the human problem goes all the way back to the beginning of the Bible. And God said, unless you understand that you were made in my image and my likeness with a purpose that was ingrained in your heart that you would never appreciate without me, until you know that, you'll never find reason in life. And so you have people all over Dingwall and Cape North and Inganish and all this area, all the way back to Shetty Camp, that are trying to live life without God. And it is impossible. Because you know what we do without God? We steal and we kill and we destroy. We hurt our children and we run out on our wives. And we put things into our bodies to make us have a feeling. And none of that works. Is there a drug problem around here? Why is there a drug problem all over the earth? Drugs everywhere. Where we live, you read the newspaper. There are countless, it seems like, drug busts every single day, because people are wanting to shoot in their veins what they don't have in their heart. And people are trying to consume with their lips what they don't have in their heart. You were made from the beginning in the image of God. It says God created man in his own image. He created male and female. He created them in his likeness. And he gave them a purpose. But man had a choice. That's the deal. That's why man's got a problem. God loved us enough to make us like him, but he loved us enough to give us a choice not to follow him. You said, Brother Kelly, why? If God's in control, why does he let us make these choices? I'm going to give you the best illustration God ever gave me. I was in my first church. I was 25 years old. And I went to visit a couple out in the country. They lived in a mobile home. And he was a veterinarian, dealt with large animals, mostly cows and horses. And I walked to his house I drove to his house that day, and he had two large dogs that had totally messed up his front yard outside of his mobile home. And his wife was there, but he is not there at the moment. I went in her house, and we're talking about spiritual things. And she raised the question, Pastor, why does God allow so much evil on earth? And God gave me this because I wasn't bright enough to get it. I looked in her kitchen. I could see it from the distance through the living room. And I said, you have a microwave in your kitchen. And that microwave obeys every command you give it. You put in 1 minute and cook, and it cooks for 1 minute. It doesn't go 59 seconds. It doesn't go a minute and 1 second. It cooks exactly as you tell it. You put in 5 minutes and cook, and it cooks for 5 minutes. And I said, your microwave never disobeys your commands. I said, however, you've got two large dogs in your front yard, and they have made a complete mess of your yard. I said, you have a better relationship with your disobedient dogs than you do your always obedient microwave oven. Here's the deal. God did not want to make you programmable where you couldn't disobey him. He wanted to give you a choice so that you would choose to love him. And so if you say, why does God let people do bad things? Because if you can't choose to love him, then it's not love. Love's a choice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. He loved you to give you a choice. Billy Joe, you made a choice. Butch, you made a choice. Those that were with us this morning, Roger talked about a choice he made on Christmas Day a long time ago. When I was a little boy, I made a choice. When my wife was at a camp years ago, she made a choice. David made a choice. Janice made a choice. Pierre, God saved you out of a bad life, didn't he? You had to make a choice to live according to the design of your life because you were made in God's image and God's purpose. Let me share this as I close. Tonight you have a choice. And you can choose to accept or reject the plan of God for your life. What is His plan? God sent His only Son to be the substitute for your sins. He died on the cross. He was buried in a barred grave. And 3 days later, according to the design of God, He rose again. And you have the choice to receive Him or the choice to reject Him. You see, in the very beginning, God had a purpose for your life. And that purpose was to be made in His image and in His likeness. But because we chose sin, we left the design of our lives. But He sent Jesus to the cross so that He could restore us to the purpose that He created us for. I want you to bow your head for a moment. And I'm just going to ask you a very simple question. And I'm not sure how y'all do things normally here, but this is okay. If tonight you would say, Steve, I have come to the place of understanding my relationship with God, and I have received Jesus into my life. I know that without a doubt, there was a place and time where I made that choice, where I saw that there was something wrong with me, and now I'm right with God. If you understand that in your life, I don't want anyone looking around. If you've come to that place, raise your hand. All over this room, hands are raised. I've come to that place where I'm right with God. Okay, put your hands down. If you were unable to raise your hand tonight without certainty of the design of God, of a decision to follow Christ, then tonight, you can come to Him. You can come to Jesus tonight. And you'll never find satisfaction anywhere else. You heard what Butch said? He had a good job. He was making money. He had the house. He was hunting and fishing. He had everything he wanted but peace. And what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? It profits him nothing.